welcome back, guys, to another Sunday of Beyond the Veil. Thanks for joining in chat. If you haven't got to chat, come find chat. Today we have special guest co-host Jenny with me. Welcome, Jenny. Thanks for joining.
Oh, glad to be on the show. Appreciate it.
I know. Christy, as many of you know, has had a lot going on, so we had to give her a break today. And we have today, our guest is paranormal investigator. She's also the tour guide of the Sally House and host of Paranormal Pride, Denise Pridemore. Welcome, Denise. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
I've been looking forward to this all week.
Me too. We've got so many questions about the Sally House. I know Jenny's got a ton.
Oh, I'm so excited. Absolutely.
Oh, I love answering questions.
Excellent.
So I'm going to start with...
Go ahead. I would let Lisa and you shoot first, since I'm just a guest co-host.
You're good, girl. No, I was thinking, okay, so how is your team composed? Because I know it's family, and your husband's involved,
yeah.
Your kids. How's it set up?
It's basically set up with, we make all the decisions on where we want to go as a family, and that way we don't have all the drama of having to deal with 10 people and their issues and their expenses, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cause there's a lot of talk about who pays what in a paranormal team. And
mm-hmm.
in our case, we pay all of our stuff because it's our family. So it works out really well. There's no arguing about it. If somebody doesn't want to go, somebody doesn't go. You know, so it works out. I think it's a great way to do things, and it gets you, to where you want to go faster.
Do you find any pitfalls to working with family?
Sometimes we all have different places we want to go at the same time. So we got a lot of compromise when you're working with your family. And I like it. You know, we've got different things going on. But, you know, really the bulk of our group is my husband and myself, because as the kids get older, you know, the oldest one wants to do it, but she doesn't get the time off work. And the youngest one's like, I don't know why you have me going, Mom, you know, things like that. So it's just kind of funny that she's our biggest fighter on it. So really, there's not too many downfalls, really.
You know, Denise, as you, and actually I can remember, displaying interest in the paranormal was extremely taboo really not that long ago. And even back, like, before the advent of the internet and the production of the television shows featuring paranormal investigations, what source material did you turn to learn more about the field?
Really, when I was growing up, there wasn't a whole lot that I knew about that I could look for. You know, we pretty much had to walk to every place that we had to go. So it was the library. Whatever I could find at the library that I wanted to read about seemed to be it. But the other thing was is that when you went to the library and you asked for this stuff, you got the rolling of the eyes from the librarian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it wasn't one of the more fun things to ask about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, because, I mean, there'd be questions like, well, why do you want that? Oh, I'm doing a report for school. They're teaching that in school?
Exactly.
Yeah, they are. Just what they do. But it wasn't, you know, once I got past that part, it wasn't a big deal because people didn't keep on asking. So it made it a lot easier when people stopped asking why I needed to know this.
Yeah, I think it's getting past once you're an adolescent. And you kind of can gain your own independence. And I like you, had to just turn to the library, and even my father actually told the library that was in the area I lived in that I could not check out any books about the Warrens or any books by Hans Wolfer. So I was actually had a paranormal book ban at the library.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was really unique. So actually, the Sally House was the show on sightings was actually the first investigation I had actually, I mean, real investigation I had ever seen. So it was really eye-opening for me.
It was one of the first ones I saw as an adult. And so it was really amazing. Actually, I remember the first time I saw anything about the Sally House on TV. I was sitting there in the middle of the night watching a rerun of A Haunting. And they're showing all this stuff. I mean, I had to get up in the middle of the night all the time because I was nursing a baby. And so, you know, always weird stuff on TV in the middle of the night. You know, and I finally found something that wasn't infomercials. So I sat there and I watched it. And I lived in Kansas City, Missouri. It's not that far.
Oh.
But yet back then, it seemed like all these places they were talking about were really far away. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In honesty, it was 90 minutes away. Okay. Just keep that in mind. 90 minutes. But we didn't have the internet, so I couldn't look it up. I never thought to pull out a road atlas or anything. And plus, I had little kids. Why would I want to go do this when I have babies? You know, I'm a mommy
mm-hmm.
first. And so I watched it. And the next day I told my husband, I said, I want to go to Atchison. And he goes, why? They got a haunted house up there. I want to see it. Okay, this was in 1993. Yeah, it was in late 1993. So it must have been like one of the first airings of A Haunting with the Pickmans on it. So that was that. Well, the next night I got up in the middle of the night again to nurse again. And what do I find? I find the Villisca Axe Murder House.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I asked Ron, I go, I want to go to the Villisca Axe Murder House. And he goes, why? And I told him why. And I said, have you ever been there? Because his family's from Red Oak, Iowa. So it's not that far away. It's 17 miles is what it is. So I did not, he didn't know that though. Okay. His family's in was, okay. To give you a little background, Ron's great uncle was a sheriff in the investigation for the Villisca Axe Murders.
Oh,
he didn't
no
know
way.
That. Yeah, he didn't
oh,
know
that's
that.
That's amazing.
So
my great grandmother lived in Ottumwa, and she was 14 when the Villisca Axe Murders happened, and it took the Titanic off the pages, and that's why she remembers it.
Yeah, I knew that from when I met Darwin. He explained that. But this, you know, this is all years before we started
that's
going
amazing.
And investigating. But yeah, he didn't know any of this, and. Then the next night, I was watching some other show. It wasn't A Haunting. It was probably Scariest Places on Earth or Ghost Stories or something like that. And, okay, just remember, this is all back in 1993. And I see McPike Mansion. Okay, Ron grew up in Florissant, Missouri, which is just across the river from Alton, Illinois. I go, have you ever been to Alton? He goes, he probably shook his head and said, yeah, why? But he used to hang out and on the Illinois side, because in Illinois you could drink at 18, but in Missouri you couldn't. So they would go over there a lot. And I said, well, do you know where McPike Mansion is? And he goes, never heard of it. Okay. So this is back in 1993. 1999 rolls around. The kids are older. Leah's just been born. And Grandma wants to watch her. And we decide that we're going to go on a tour of Alton. So we go on a walking tour of Alton, Illinois, on Troy Taylor's tour. Okay, by this time I had read every book that I could find from Troy Taylor, and I recommend some of them, not all of them, but his one on Haunted Alton was great. I really enjoyed it, and that it was written back when he was actually doing investigations a lot more than he does now. I mean, he was deep into it back then. And so we went on his walking tour, and I asked, I said, so where's McPike Mansion? And so they gave me directions on how to get there. We didn't go back for a while. It was probably a couple years later we went back and found it. You know, so we got place number one done. All excited. I got to go to McPike Mansion. And the big part here is that McPike Mansion, we are also volunteers at McPike Mansion. Not only are we volunteers for the Sally House, we volunteer at McPike Mansion. Just a heads up, that's 350 miles away from my house.
Oh, my. Wow.
So, now,
we volunteer there.
Tours out there, doesn't he? Do you,
yes, he
do
does.
Do you know him? Or?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, we had pictures taken at the last camp out together. But we've known him probably 6 years. You think so, Ron? Coyote Chris?
Yeah, such a great guy.
Yeah, it's about 6 years.
Wonderful.
He is. He gives so much, and he gives with his heart, and that's what really counts there. So I love Chris, and I've made some great friends out there. Well, the next thing comes along, we've got a family reunion in Iowa. So we went the back road, and we're coming up, and we're staying in Stanton. So we're driving up the road, and I go, "Hey, Ron, you know, I wonder where Villisca is." He goes, "I don't know." He goes, "I think it's in the northern part of the state." And we turn on this road, and there's a sign that says Villisca, 11 miles. It's either 11 or 9. It's not too far. And I looked at him, and I said, "We got to go." So in the meantime, I'm getting my GPS to find out where it's at. And we turn down the road, and we get down there, and somebody's got the house overnight. So we just kind of take a picture and leave. Okay, and took down the phone number so we could call and come back on Sunday because they were open every day at that time. Because when Darwin was alive, you could get in there Monday through Sunday anytime. Mm-hmm. And so we took down the phone number, and we go to the family reunion, and I show this picture, okay? Really neat picture. Had a palm phone, no flash, so it had really slow shutter speed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know any of this. But I saw the lightning bugs all out. June in the summertime, so, you know, lightning bugs are out. I get this lightning bug going through the picture. Looks creepy. And stuff. So I share it with the family, and that's when Ron's mom goes, "You do know that your great uncle, Orrin Jackson, was your grandma Jackson's brother." And they tell me the whole story of a Jackson marrying a Jackson and things like that because it's a common name down there. And that he was the sheriff. And the first thing Ron says to everybody is, "When we were kids and we were looking for things to do and weird places to go, why didn't none of my cousins tell me about this place?" He was actually very irritated that they never said anything about this place being 17 miles away.
Absolutely.
So, oh, yeah. But what's interesting about the Villisca Axe murders, there were, you know, a string of murders that went through the area. One of them is in one of the worst unsolved murders in the county I live in Miami County, Kansas. So there was two murders 4 nights before the Villisca Axe murders, and they were in Miami County here in Paola, which
was
is 17
light
miles
out
from me.
Still? I know there was a thing where all the lights were out because they were having a feud with the power company at the time. So were the lights out there as well?
No.
Okay.
The thing about Paola is the house is like four houses from the railroad. So it puts a little bit more light on the fact that most of the places that this stuff happened, the railroad was very close by.
Oh, I see.
And the original house that the murders happened in burned down. So the people now have a sign that says no trespassing, you know, things like that, because people come and find the house and want to investigate. And they're, "No, leave us alone." So that is our next thing that we do that's all interesting. Well, that fall, we decide that we're going to go on a trolley tour in Atchison. I just came in and I told Ron, I said, let's go to Atchison this coming Saturday. I want to do the trolley tour. So we go up there and we do the trolley tour. And I write down almost everything that they say on the trolley tour about which address it is. I looked at all the addresses that they gave you. And all of this is from a book called Haunted Kansas. Almost all of Atchison is in that book. And then there's also a Haunted Atchison book. So I had written down the addresses and stuff and said, you know, this way. When we got around to the Sally house, lo and behold, there's the address. And I'm seeing it, and I'm like, that looks just like the house on Sightings. It looks like the house on a haunting. And I was like, it looks a little different. But, you know, other than that, I said, that's it. I want to go. And so after our tour, we decide that we're going to come back in September and do a tour of the Sally house. And it was, you know, that was it. Once I saw the house, I had to go back. So we went back twice that year. The first thing that I noticed when we walked in was, surprise, it doesn't look anything like on a haunting. That's the first question I get from a lot of people. This ain't the house that's on a haunting. This can't be the Sally house. They taped somewhere else. They only taped the front of the house and the back of the house, and then they did all the filming somewhere else because the house is too small for a big film crew. When they did sightings, on the other hand, that really truly is in the real house.
It was packed. Yeah.
It's packed. I mean, if you have more than 10 people in that house, you feel crushed. So, you know, like I said, we went in there, and that was the first thing we noticed. And, of course, I was eating up all the stuff about, oh, there was a little girl that died here from a botched appendectomy. Oh, there's a little girl who died here because of, you know, pneumonia, you know, because they're saying this stuff. And from a haunting they had, that a doctor lived in the house and he had an affair with his housekeeper, you know, and they had a multiracial child or biracial child, and that she died from pneumonia in this bedroom. Okay, that's one of the stories. That's one of the legends of Atchison. The other legend is the one that the chamber goes by, that a doctor lived in the house, and somebody brought them a child in the middle of the night. This mother brought the child that was in writhing in pain, and they had to do emergency appendectomy in the house. And the appendectomy went awry when he apparently either dropped the chloroform or whatever it was he was using to put her to sleep, or he didn't have enough. You know, so one way makes the doctor look like he's going to have pain in the butt, and the other one just makes him look stupid. And that she wakes up in the middle of it, and she's all cut open, and she gets up, and the last thing she sees is this man, and that's the reason why she hates men. Okay, so that's the second one. There's a third one that sightings made, a made-for-TV movie with Bo Bridges.
And I remember this. Yeah.
Okay, and they have it where it's supposedly in some town in Missouri, but yet it's supposed to be in Atchison. It was filmed in Atchison. That is true. It was filmed there, and parts of it were filmed in the Sally House as well, that the doctor had a wife, and she had an affair with a slave. Okay, there's the first part of this whole thing. And that when the baby was born, it was obviously not his, so he threw it out in the snow and let it die. Okay, the first thing is Atchison was founded by David Atchison, who wanted it to be a slave state. But 2 years in, the city itself voted out slavery, even before Kansas became a state. So if there were slaves, they were prior to 1858. So that was one of the things. I mean, I have to tell people, don't you remember, you know, your history? So the truth is that the house was built between 1867 and 1871. Okay, we all know from our history the Civil War was over in 1865.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there were no slaves ever in this house. Yes, there may have been African Americans that worked for the family in this house, but there were no slaves. Okay, that's just a fact.
And they held on to the house until the 30s, if memory serves, or at least,
Actually, I'll tell you a real quick version of this. So the house was built between 1867 and 1871. And it was a Finney lived in that house until about 1945.
Oh, wow.
So it was actually sold to someone else about 1950. Dr. Finney, let's go with M.C. Finney, died in the house right after it was built. He is the father of the family. He was 51, and it does not state the reason how he died or anything. And then not long after that, his father-in-law, who had lived with the family as well, died in the house. Okay, M.C. funeral and Charles's funeral, both their funerals were in the house. Not long after that, Kate Finney was pregnant with M.C.'s baby when he passed. So Richard Edwin died. He was between 15 and 18 months old based on based on history that I can find, and his funeral was in the house. Well, time goes on, and then there's another funeral in the house in 1900, and it was James Finney, Dr. Charles Finney's brother. So he didn't die in the house, but he was buried, his funeral was held in the house. The next death in the house was William True, Agnes Finney True's husband of only 5 years. He died in the house, and his funeral was was not in the house. There were four funerals, but there were five deaths. The next death in the house was not until 1939, and it was Agnes Finney, and she had actually lived in the house for 72 years by the time she died. And she died, she was sick for 3 days when she had died, and it was, you know, she passed away at midnight on the day that she died. And after 1939, Dr. Finney, who back in 1905, his mother bought the lot next door at 510, and had a house built there, and they moved in over there in 1905 to this other house, which was more stately for a doctor. She said that she built this house for her favorite son.
Mm.
And so Agnes, his sister, stayed in the Sally house, and they moved over into this big red house. That does look, it's a lot bigger. And so they lived over there. Dr. Finney, his wife, and his newborn son moved over there with Kate. So from there, Dr. Finney, he only became a doctor back in 1897. So at this time, he'd only been a doctor when he moved over there, you know, 7-8 years. So 1913 rolls around. He's running for mayor, and he wins. Okay? This is amazing because, you know, when you look back and they're always talking about, hey, Dr. Finney botched this surgery, this is where I tell people to use their logic. If he had actually botched the surgery with all these people living in the house, Agnes, his wife, his mother, the mother of the child, and himself, here are all these people are in this house, and a child died there? Okay, you tell me. If you're the mother and this guy's running for mayor, don't you think somebody would have spoke up and said, hey, he's an inept doctor?
Oh, absolutely.
He was actually, right. He was voted mayor by most of the women in Atchison because he was their doctors. He delivered half the kids in Atchison. So that's one of the things that I tell people. If he's haunting that place, I think it's because he's pissed that people are dragging his name through the mud. But that's just me.
In
1916 rolls around. He's no longer mayor. He was asked to step down because of Prohibition, and he was supplying beer to People's Club. He really enjoyed his beer. So, but as soon as he stepped down, they asked him to run again. Funny, huh? So,
yeah.
So it kind of takes a lot of the stories that you've heard and makes you go, well, why would they say he's a bad guy? He's not. But, you know, there are some funny things about him. Before he was a doctor, he used to like to ice skate, and he would ice skate under the name of Ms. Colby from Baltimore.
So he definitely was a guy with a sense of humor. He seems like a real character.
He was.
In a good way.
Right. And like I said, he lived next door with his wife and his son and his mother until his mother died. She actually died in 510. And they say that that house is haunted as well. So in 1939, after Agnes died, Dr. Finney and his wife moved back into 508. And his son, by this time, is an adult. He's living in the house at 510. And of course, he's a doctor as well. And Dr. Finney passes in, you know, I don't remember what year, but it was in the 40s. He died. He was in his 80s. And he did not die in the house. He died in Leavenworth at the hospital there, not in the military hospital.
Well, let's say he was in Leavenworth?
Well, there's, you don't know this, but there's like 6 prisons in Leavenworth.
Oh, I know. Believe me, I know.
Yeah.
No, I'm ex-military. I know.
Yeah, there's tons
actually,
of them, and
they're
not all
military. That's a very good position to be a doctor in Leavenworth. That must have made
oh, yeah.
me, yet again, saying he's not an inept doctor. This guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah. So he did practice in Atchison, but he didn't practice in Leavenworth. He just happened to be in the hospital in Leavenworth when he passed. And so all this stuff is going on, and like I said, I don't see any reason that this house should be haunted based on the history. So, you know, after the Finneys passed on, there were quite a few people that lived in the house, and there's no reported hauntings that anybody claims. I mean, Mrs. Anderson, who lived there the second longest out of anybody, she said that she never had any hauntings. She didn't believe in spirits, and she said that we never had any activity. You know, she's passed on now, so nobody can ask her, but, you know, the Pickmans did ask her. Based on the stuff that they've written on their website, they've asked her. But the next thing that we have on the house happens to be Sally House, A True Haunting, and what was filmed live at, you know, on sightings and stuff. And I have no reason to, you know, I've read the Sally House book probably 6 times just so that I can, you know, it's in memory. And there's no reason to say, hey, none of this stuff happened, because it did. You know, they documented it as it happened, you know, which is, first of all, for its time period, that was amazing that Deborah had the wherewithal to document it all. You know, it's just amazing.
Absolutely, she was pregnant, and you know, and then she had a newborn, and to me, I don't know what it is, but I don't know if maybe the law of for some reason, I think it's like the law of attraction kicked in or something, mm-hmm. and then it maybe some. I think some people or some investigators come in, sometimes they can bring negative attachments. Possibly that could have added to it, but that's just, you know, a sidebar.
I think so, too. The main thing is they didn't really bring in paranormal investigators. They brought in people that they thought could help them. Right. They brought in this first woman they brought in was Barbara Connor, and she is the one that gave the name Sally. And you know, I know she's passed on and everything, but I don't know what she was seeing. But all we can go with is the secondhand account from what Deborah said. And then when Peter James came, he pretty mm-hmm. much said the same thing. But what got me with Peter James is he's the one that coined that the house had a portal.
Mm-hmm.
And when you walk into the house, no. He said
okay.
He walked in the house and walked into the dining room and pointed to the corner. If you can remember during
I remember. He was very like, there is something right there.
Right.
And
during
he was talking about it, and he goes, he was saying like, it's dark and it does not want me here. But it's
right.
communicating with it. Yes, I remember that.
Right. And so basically when you're standing in the living room and you're looking in the dining room, if you remember on Ghost Adventures when Zach was talking to the police officer that also talked with Peter James,
mm-hmm.
there's a cabinet right behind him. That is the corner that he told them was a portal. And the main reason people go to the basement is it looks creepy, and you do get things down there like laughter. I see these things that I can't explain. They're these little black balls that kind of go up the wall and into the hole. I mean, just run up the wall, across the ceiling. I'm pointing. You guys can't see this. But up across the ceiling and into the hole. And, I mean, and they scurry. There's that. There's something down there that pokes at me, throws stuff at me. I've been scratched, pushed. I've been bruised. On the insides of my arms, it looks like fingerprints. I've been now scratched there seven or eight times. So the fact is that they say, oh, the spirit hates men. Well, that's bull crap. We know that now. I think the spirit
ask, like, when people come to investigate or do tours, is there one, you know, males versus females that get scratched or attacked more, or young versus old? Is there any rhyme or rhythm to it, or no?
There's no rhyme or reason. I think it picks out the one that is the most danger to them.
Oh.
I think that's the reason it picked out Tony. Think about it. Tony was the one that kept saying that this is not right. This is, you know, Deborah's going, oh, it's a cute little girl, and we got to treat her like this. And Tony's going, no, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one that's getting all this stuff happening to him. And I've never met the Pickmans. That's going to change this weekend. But
oh, wow.
Right now, I haven't met them. So I'm excited to meet them more than you know.
So they're coming back to this alley house?
No. Well, there's
some stuff.
We're meeting them again.
I read on their website that they have a few reasons why they don't want to go back. Yeah.
Well, they went back back on the 3rd with Dave Spinks and Carissa Fleck.
Oh, okay.
because we took Dave and Carissa on a tour there last Sunday.
Oh,
and
wow.
So,
yeah, I've got Dave coming up on the show soon. I'll have to ask him about his visit to the Sally House.
Yes. It was very interesting. And, you know, I didn't see that they were posting anything about going to the Sally House, so I made sure that I kept my mouth shut. So if people decide they want to go to the Sally House and they want me to be their tour guide, unless they say something about going there, I keep my mouth shut if I'm their tour guide. Because of the fact that, you know, you don't want a lot of people knowing that, because I know that when they have investigations there sometimes, the drunken neighbors come over and knock on the door. I'm going to tell you, I've never had any problems with any of the neighbors. I've always treated the neighbors very kindly, and they've always treated me back that way. And so I think it makes a big difference when you treat the people the way that you want to be treated. But I'll tell you, it's one of the most fun things that we ever do is taking people through that house and watching them have an experience if one happens to them. Because, you know, just like any other haunted location, it's not always active. But I tell you, a thunderstorm comes along. Like when Ghost Adventures was there, we had 4 nights of thunder, lightning, hail, tornado warnings, all kinds of stuff, which is not that uncommon in September.
You've got a caller calling in. We'll take their call and see what the question they might have for you, Denise.
Okay.
You're on the air with Denise. Did you have a question for her?
Hi, I was just listening in, but the topic caught my interest because, you know, I have a situation with a house that I've been trying to get since my mom died. And it's like my intuition, every once in a while, keeps telling me that it's being held up because there's something there that she wouldn't want me exposed to. So I wasn't sure if she could tap into that, because it's a place where I used to find a lot of solitude and peace, but I've had a lot of resistance. And I'm just wondering if the resistance is just like...
The question I have for you is, has the location that you're talking about, has it ever been cleansed or cleared?
As soon as my mom died, I was trying to do that, but then the rest of my family came in and we became embroiled in a very nasty estate. I haven't been back in the house, but that would be one of the things I would want to do once I got there.
I would say so. If your family's embroiled in a lot of stress and drama, that's going to make anybody stressed out, and it could be doing the same thing for your spirit that's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I know that your mom didn't say, "Hey, I'm leaving this all to you guys so that you guys can fight over it."
No, she had more than that. They actually just became very greedy and vicious.
That happens a lot when somebody passes it, I'm sorry to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, I think that a cleansing would probably be the best thing. And even for yourself, you know, just to get the negativity off of you. And one of the things that I do to get some of the negativity off of me personally is I take a nice Epsom salt bath, get it as far up, like, as far as on me as I can, you know, I lay down in the bathtub and soak. First of all, it releases your stress, but it sure makes you feel a lot more positive when it's all done. That was told to me by a Reiki friend of mine. She said, "Hey, this is gonna help you get some of this stress and negativity off of you." So pretty much every time we go to the Sally House, I have to do that. Another thing is when you do get in the house, just make sure you're prepared, because I think that it's going to welcome you, or it's going to be really, really hard to be in there. So, and if
I know it's going to be hard to be in there, but I know it's going to be hard to be in there, because the people that are there now are not taking care of it.
And something I've heard as far as relaxing and cleansing, and I haven't tried it personally, I've been wanting to, and you probably know Amy Jo, but she does sage baths where she'll boil the sage and then put it in the bath. And I've heard that works good. That might be something to try as well.
You know, the Epsom salt, you can now get that with lavender already in it.
Okay.
To bring in the lightness.
It's funny
yes.
that you say that because I've been told
Lyndon,
to take a sea bath or a salt bath.
Yeah.
And let in as much natural light in general as you can into your house. You know, just where you live now, wherever your domicile is. In lieu of during the daytime turning on the lights if you don't need to, you know, let in the fresh air, let in the natural light. And also just even before I even do a cleansing, in my own home, I clean the entire house from top to bottom. And
that's what I've been trying to do. And it's so strange because I'm trying to do it to get it in order so I can move forward and try to conduct my affairs to get into the next place where I wouldn't be, you know, sharing the premise with tenants. Tenants have different energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
My mom's house has more space for me and my children.
You might just need to find
privacy.
A reputable. You need to find probably just a reputable group if you don't feel comfortable or you don't feel like your place is cleansed enough. Get somebody out there that knows what they're doing.
Just when I get it to a place where it feels like it's okay now and the energy is changing and I can feel a little zen, someone else mm-hmm. comes along who needs help. And my husband always gives them a place to stay, not in our apartment. Like, you know, we have other floors.
Mm-hmm.
And they always come in with the drama. And I don't know if it's me attracting it, but I just don't like to be around a lot of different energies.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine?
You might have a gift, too. Yeah, you might have mm-hmm. a gift that you don't understand or never, you know, fully explored. That's common with empaths, you know.
Yeah,
very common with empaths.
Yes, I've been told that. I see things that a lot of people don't see. Ever since I was a little girl, it wasn't until I started going on this journey through the trials, you know, the tribulations, that I began to learn about the empathic abilities. I mean, I knew my mother had it, and she knew, you know, that I could dream and know certain things was going to happen. Unfortunately, since she passed, I haven't been able to dream as fluid or as lucid as I once did.
Mm-hmm. It sounds to me like you can't turn off your mind at night.
No, that's the problem. That's why I'm trying to get back to her place, because I had, you know, a nice little area in the back where I could go sit, ground and garden and privacy.
Well,
please,
I'm going to say a prayer to get back in there.
I have an upper respiratory infection, so if you hear me wheezing.
Again, we're going to keep you in our prayers, and hopefully
yes.
you can get back to that place that makes you feel yourself again. But one of the things that I was told that a lot of people may agree with or may not is that when you're
mm-hmm.
cleansing your house, that the homeowner should be present. So if there is any cleansing that goes on, make sure you're
mm-hmm.
present and that you can learn how to do it if you don't do it yourself. So that once you do it, a lot of times you need to do it again and again for it to stick.
Right,
so
I know that.
Keep that
I
in
know.
Mind. So
okay.
I just want you to be aware that you need to be present at the time. Okay?
But you're
yeah.
not able to, like, you're not able to see into the place where I want to go right now.
Are you talking about, like,
not right
remote
now,
viewing?
Because I was told that there was a woman there who likes my energy, and she used to watch me a lot when I was there. And she's not pleased with what's going on there. And I know the last time I went there a couple of years ago, I wasn't pleased as well.
Right. You know, right
so,
now, I can't tell you what I feel as far as you're concerned, because
mm-hmm.
I don't see it right now. But I can understand where a spirit that's there would be unhappy with the situation. That's just me having common sense. If things aren't going
right.
the way they're supposed to go, the spirit's going to
mm-hmm.
be ticked off. You're going to be ticked off, and you're picking up on that. And that's where your
right.
you're being empathic.
Right, because I'm hearing that they're constantly having to repair ceilings and stuff like that. My mom's house was intact. You know, she was very meticulous about her things, her collectibles, and you know, if so, if you were the person who was boxing them up and just letting them sit there covered with crap, she would be upset.
Well, maybe you need to tell the spirit it's okay to piss those people off. Get them out of your house.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to say it out loud. I mean, just say it out loud. I know it sounds crazy, but have a conversation. I mean, I know it feels like you're talking to no one, but, you know, it actually does work. You know, it truly does.
I mean, I don't know if that's the vindictiveness of me coming out that I can be, that most people don't see. But
no,
that's
they
how
mean,
I
every,
feel
everybody
about.
Who goes there needs to go, and they know that they're not supposed to be there. They're just trying to be vicious with me and be greedy.
Yeah.
I mean, they sold several properties and haven't even sent me any of my proceeds.
Oh, that's just wrong. So, well, I'm going to tell you, if you want to look me up on Facebook and we can talk some more later on, please do so. I'm Denise Pridemore.
Okay.
I'm on Facebook as my name. I've got a little mask on and everything. But that's only because I like purple and gold. I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. That's the only reason I have a mask on. I'm not trying to hide anything. And so find me, and you know, we can chat if you want.
How do you spell your last
figure
name?
Out what's going. Pridemore, Pridemore.
Pridemore.
No, P as in Peter.
Okay, Pridemore, Denise Pridemore.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
There's a couple of us out there, but I'm the only one with a purple and gold mask. So,
okay.
And the story behind the mask is funny, too. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Denise, for taking a minute to talk to her. Yeah,
thank you for calling in.
And good luck, and sending her lots of love and light, sending you lots of positive love and light.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well,
I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call in. Denise, I think we're going to skip the break today. Since we still have a lot to talk about. But I wanted to ask you about the circumstances behind the photo of the Sally House. If people go to Beyond the Veil's page, there's two photos that you posted, one of the Sally House and one of what appears to be a little girl looking out the window, and, like, what was going on and when you took it, and do you feel like it's a little girl, something demonic, what your take
there's
on that is?
There's a lot of things about that picture that it's interesting. It was taken one of the very first times we went there. No one was in the house. They had locked it up. And when I saw it on the picture, I went back and I said, hey, we need to check and make sure there's nobody in the house. And so we all went back in to make sure nobody was in the house. There's nobody in there. So that was the first thing is we had to validate because I thought it was a toy. Okay, let's be honest. I thought it was a toy in the window. And so I go up there and I look and there's no toy in the window. Nothing's there. And so we go and we look at it some more. And later on, as I'm looking at the picture, I got a picture of Dr. Finney about the time of his death. And the brow line looks like Dr. Finney looking out the window. But the thing is everybody who sees it sees, they think they see something evil in that picture. And it was taken at the nursery window where they called, well, some people call it Sally's room. I always called it the nursery because that's what the Pickmans called it, was the nursery. And so I look at that, and to me, I see something dark and demonic looking out at me. But it does look, it has this brow line that looks like Dr. Finney in his 80s. So what is it? I don't know. When we took that picture, I wasn't as in tune with what I know now as being an empath and being able to see. I was always able to see, but I wasn't able to put it into words back then.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't able to say, hey, definitively, this is a dark and demonic, you know, entity looking out at me. 3 years later, I can say it was a dark and demonic entity looking out at me. And here now it's 5 years later, and I know for sure that it was something dark and disgusting and making faces at me, trying to get me to come back in there.
Ugh.
The other picture really interesting. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. What other?
The other picture was just a neat picture. Isn't it the one with the big orb in the window?
Yes.
Or was it a scratch?
Well,
yeah.
I don't know what I'd call an orb, but
well,
but that's just me not like an orb, but
Yeah, I know. I just it was.
But
just
yeah,
a neat
I know.
Picture.
I know what you're talking about, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought that was a neat picture. No matter what, no matter what you believe, it was just neat to see this. You know, there see this big giant light in this window.
Yeah, it was
and
massive.
Yeah, and there were people down in the downstairs. The lights were on downstairs. If you look at the picture, you can see that the lights were on downstairs. They were doing psychic readings down there at the time with, I think it was with Kelly Adams from Adams. She's part of Adams Paranormal now, but she was doing psychic readings down there. And I took this picture, and here's this giant orb in there. Well, I didn't take it. My kid took it, but it's my picture now. but it's just really a neat picture. But I tell you, what you need to do is if you ever go there, look across the street from the Sally House. There's a giant mansion across the street called the Glick Mansion. It is one of the most beautiful houses in Atchison. And it's a bed and breakfast, mm-hmm. so you can stay there. And it's haunted.
Oh, lovely.
Double benefit.
Yeah. I know, right?
Well, you can go almost any place in Atchison and find that it's haunted.
Now, quick question. Now, I remember on the episode of Ghost Adventures with the Sally House, they had mentioned a Native American presence in the mm-hmm. exterior of the house. Is there
yeah.
any archaeological or historical evidence of there being like a burial ground, a Native American burial ground, or a tribe that resided there?
There was a tribe that resided in the area prior to Lewis and Clark. Lewis and Clark came through in 1804, 1805, and there was a tribe that had been there. There are the Kanza Indians actually have two burial grounds. One is south of Atchison and one is north of Atchison. There is no proof of any burial grounds in the city limits of Atchison. The Native American that I see there, or Indian, because like I've had to tell a whole bunch of people, I'm Indian. I don't care what you call me as long as you don't call me a bad word. I don't consider being called an Indian bad. I consider it politically correct. So I mean, I know I have people.
I'm part Native American. I don't mind being called an Indian. That's why I was like, Pride War.
Neither.
That sounds Native American.
Well, my husband's that's my husband's name, and his family. You know, that there's no Native Americans in his family, but my family, there was, and they were on the Trail of Tears actually, which is weird because we live
goodness.
On the Pottawatomi Trail of Death, where we live. But yeah, it's just. I keep seeing him out there. He stands out there. I tell everybody he's like a sentry or somebody else said a protector or a watcher. He's a sentry to me. He stands out there. He doesn't interact with anyone. And he just feels like he's watching something. What's he watching? I don't know. But I was I kept telling my husband, I don't know if anybody else sees him, but he's out there. And he asked me to show him where he usually stands, and I walked out there, and I walked right through him. He didn't interact at all, and it was a strange feeling, but he doesn't talk. It's like talking to one of the soldiers in England, that aren't supposed to.
Ascend
the other
centuries of Buckingham.
Yeah. So we have our own man that does not interact with anyone, and I find him interesting, and he doesn't have a feather, and the Native Americans that they put on the side of the Sally House, so that kind of irritated me because they picked Cherokee, and there were no Cherokee Indians there at the time, but there are multiple tribes that have lived in the area, but the Kanza were the ones that are the most often related to that part of Kansas.
And then just one quick. Now, there also had alluded to there being a ritualistic animal sacrifice. I'm sorry, on the same episode, ritualistic animal sacrifices in the basement. Yeah.
Right. And there was a woman that lived in the house after the Pickmans, and I do know her name, but I'm not going to share it.
Okay.
And she no longer lives in Atchison. I don't know where she's at. But she was practicing the dark arts. Since I don't know which dark arts, if she was, you know, was it just dark witchcraft or was it Satanism?
Or Santeria,
I don't know.
Or, yeah.
Right, don't know. All I know is that she had pentagrams on the floor. And one of the things is when the owner came in to do some work in the house, he found these and he immediately evicted her.
Mm.
Told the people it was due to filth. And so after that, they couldn't get anybody to, you know, I think she was one of the last people to live in the house. The last time anybody actually lived in the Sally house, the last person moved out in 2004.
So this was recent, and so that might have just completely exacerbated whatever's there exponentially.
Right, and I do not know if anyone ever tried cleansing the house. There is a large Catholic community in Atchison, so I do not know if there were any blessings or exorcisms done on the house or anything like that. I've asked, and nobody seems to know. So that's going to be one of the questions that I'm going to ask the Pickmans on Saturday. Plus, they're going to be on my show in May. I'm so excited. They're going
to
be on my show in May. So and Dave Spinks is going to be on in May as well.
Okay. Well, Denise, before we come up on the hour, I wanted to ask you about the haunted hop that I'd heard you talk about in the past, and if you still do that or if it's still in existence. I don't know if you do it. And then also where people can find you, your website, what events you have coming up, what's going on,
sure.
That kind of stuff.
Well, if you want to find me, I'm on Facebook. You can find me through Denise Pridemore. And as I said before, it's spelled with a P as in Peter. And I have two Facebook pages, one for the Paranormal Pride, and I'm on Monday nights at 7 on the Paranormal King Network. And if you want to find out when I'm on, this week I'm not on because I'm doing Lisa's show. I have to work this week. So check out the Paranormal Pride on Facebook. And then our paranormal page is Pride More Paranormal, and we keep those up to date. Both of those are up to date with any events that are going on. If you wanted to check out Atchison, visit Atchison.com, click on the menu and go to hauntings, and you'll find all kinds of stuff about overnights, tours, all the events that are going on. And the Haunted Hop, we are doing two this year. Both are in October. And what they are is, let's see, we go to two haunted locations. We have dinner at a haunted restaurant. And we do the world-famous Atchison Haunted Trolley Tour. And I'm your tour guide for the trolley. And then Ron and I do the investigations together. And Ron, of course, is the heckler that's telling me, you screwed that up, and it's on the left, not on the right. Because people don't know this. We don't live in Atchison. We actually live 90 miles away. So when we drive up there, We're volunteering to drive up there and do this. So from the first weekend of September to the first weekend in November, we're driving up there every week except for one. And that one weekend is the one where we go spend with Coyote Chris and all the lovely people at McPike Mansion, which is going to be October 22nd. So if anybody's interested in doing a camp out at the McPike Mansion, meeting Coyote Chris and Sandy Little Lizard, and Sharon Ludyke and George, that's October 22nd, and you go to McPikeMansion.com and check out the camp out. So, and anybody, if you need to have your event promoted, if you want to be on my show, please contact me. But I always promote all my guests after they're gone as well as before they're on. So come on. Here I am. I'm listening.
Sounds fun. How close is Boonville to you? Do you know? Or to the
Boonville
Sally House.
Ron, how far is Boonville from Sally House?
There's a hospital out that way. We're supposed to go investigate. We might have to
correlate
that, Jenny, to go to Boonville Hospital and Sally House at the same time.
That would be heavenly. That would be
another
heavenly.
Place you could go to in Boonville. It's just south on Highway 5, is Ravenwood. The mansion there that was supposedly haunted. We did a tour there. The only thing that scared me was the wasps and the bees in the attic. But we were also with a kid that didn't want to do anything. She was kind of being crappy. that day. But yeah, it's a really neat place, and it's like I said, it's what down Highway 5. You know, you go one way, you're in Boonville. You go the other way, you're in Tipton. So, but
okay.
Yeah, Boonville is about an hour and a half from here, at least. But and you can get ice cream at Russell Stover's. They have really good ice cream at that Russell Stover's.
Oh,
yummy!
We're gonna have
Russell
a good trip.
Stover's? Oh, we're gonna have
oh,
a great
yeah.
trip.
I love. We take that route a lot because you know how do you get to McPike? You gotta take I-70. So well, hopefully you
well,
guys
Jenny,
enjoy your Boonville Hospital.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and the Sally House too. Hopefully we can hit that while we're there.
Yeah. That would be
did
heavenly.
You want to hit
that's
on the
dream. The five questions?
Did you want to hit
okay.
on the
realm? What gives you butterflies in your tummy, Denise?
Oh, my husband.
If you could have an endless supply of food of any kind, what would it be?
Maryland steam crabs.
Sounds yummy. Okay. Yeah. In your opinion, what animal is the most beautiful and the best, and why?
Koala bears. I don't
always
know why. They're just cuddly.
Okay. And then I was going to say, are you single? But that one's already answered. what is the most overwhelming thing you know?
Overwhelming? Oh. God love.
And
how's that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
God's love.
Oh, that's
aww.
A good one. That's a really, really good one.
Well,
what's,
because
and the last
being
one,
involved
what,
in all
oh.
this, it makes me believe in God more. Being involved in the paranormal makes me believe in God more.
It does. Me too. Me too. Because I believe in the preservation of the human soul, that it still goes on. And I catch flack at my church, but whatever. They can just deal with it. And then what sound would you use for beauty? What word or sound would you use for beauty?
My mom.
Oh, that's perfect. Me too. And that
those
would be our five
questions.
Random questions. Well, they were tailored for Denise.
All right, Jenny, as we go to we're about to exit, do you want to throw out the round table tonight, what time and everything,
oh,
where people can go?
Yes, I'm going to be on my station, Paranormal Talk 101. We're going to be talking about, boom, 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 post-game show, the Sally House. So join us, and always you can always call in and ask questions. Thank you so much, Lisa, for having me on. Thank you so much, Denise. I really enjoyed it.
Yes, thank you, Denise.
Well, I had a great time. Thank you guys for letting me talk.
No problem. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.